We're talking Saints football. New Orleans is rolling. Joined by a Saints defensive end, he is a first-team All-Pro, a three-time Pro Bowler, the Saints nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year, two tackles and a sack in Monday's win over Washington. He's fifth in the NFL with five sacks this season. As I mentioned, the Saints are in first in the NFC South. They're 4-1. They're at Baltimore on October 21st. We are joined by Cameron Jordan. Cam, nice to have you on. How are you? Good morning.
I'm good. Appreciate you having me on.
It's great to have you on. Thanks for doing this again. You know, I want to go back to Monday night since you've got a little bit of time off. And we could start with Drew Brees, but first let me ask you about the defense, because it was another really strong performance, and especially in the defensive line. You've talked about how you want that D-line to be the spear and not the tip of the spear. What do you mean by that, and did that happen on Monday night?
You know, D-coordinators always say that, you know, we have to be aggressive and that, you know, the defensive line starts up front with the defensive line. You got to be the tip of the spear. I was like, why do I have to be the tip of the spear? I was like, I'll be the whole weapon. So I just feel like it encompasses all of our defensive line. When we say we want to be the complete weapon, we're talking about both edges being set, the interior being pushed, not allowing quarterbacks to scramble and or step up through a pocket. I put the task to our D-line every week, just like our D-line coach emphasizes that we have to be able to take over a game, and I think we did just that this past week.
Cameron Jordan joining us. You did defensively. In fact, when the defense is rolling like that and you're getting the offense back the ball and the offense is scoring the way it is, how much fun is that, and do the two units feed off each other?
Oh, for sure. I mean, when you talk about, you see Mark Ingram come back and that boost he gives the offense, you see, you know, Mike T going off the way he does, AK going off the way he does. Drew set their record. I mean, there's no possible way the defense can't be fed that high level of energy. And just for us to try and get back, I mean, you know, we had the first three and out of the series, gave the ball back, and it was, you know, lights out, touchdowns after that.
Cam Jordan joining us once again. Now, you had a monster year last year, and then you came into this year, and you've already got five sacks this season. I'm curious, what did you work on in the offseason that you're applying this season? What's been the biggest difference?
Just the natural ability to keep progressing. I'm always looking to better myself in terms of playing the boot better, draw better, focusing more on, you know, exactly the technicalities of the line, how they want to set to from, you know, whether they set away from a back and pass pro, or is it any formation that they seemingly seem to change up their pass protection. I'm just trying to get one more hint. If I can get, you know, a half step faster, then I'm going to close in a lot more sacks. And I've already missed about three of them, and I'm kicking myself in the foot. I missed, you know, Matt Ryan sack late in the game. I missed a Eli Manning sack, and I missed an Alex Smith sack already. So I'm over here really irritated at myself, which is only going to keep motivating me to try and be better for the next week.
Hey, Cam, is that how it is? Do you always think about the ones that you didn't get as opposed to the ones that you did get?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't complain about the meal you had. You can only complain about the meal you're looking forward to.
Cam Jordan joining us. You know, so your whole goal is to keep progressing, keep adjusting, keep getting better. But at the same time, they're making it harder on you and guys who have jobs like you, because they're putting in rules that make the job so much tougher. How much harder, in fact, is your job right now to avoid penalties than when you first came into the league?
When I first came into the league, you were allowed to, you know, almost hit a quarterback any way you needed to, as long as it wasn't low. They then took the rule where you could hit them low, and then they then re-implemented the rule where you could hit them low if you were thrown into a quarterback. I feel that, you know, sometimes the game is impaired by some of these rules, but again, this is the day and time that we live in, so we have to adjust. It's not like I can go out there to Reggie White, you know, offensive lineman, and slap him in the ear hole and, you know, swing past him that way. There's rules protecting players in general that are that weren't present in years past.
That's tremendous. It's not like it was with Reggie White, where you could slap a guy in the ear hole and take care of your business. Hey, Cam, I know you watch a lot of film, and you watch film of guys who played the game. Have you studied Reggie White? And when you look at the way he used to do it, and obviously he could get away with things that you can't get away with right now, when you look at him, what did you see? What would you take from his game?
Just a pure passion. I mean, you know, when Reggie White was over at the Packers, they won a Super Bowl, and, you know, you say Brett Favre, but defensively, or, you know, anybody would have to realize that the heart and soul of that team was really Reggie White. just the way that he approaches the game, the way that he would dominate offensive linemen throughout the entire line. I mean, he could rush in a five-tech, three-tech, and even seemingly line up at a nose and do work. I'm not saying I imbue my game from him, but I feel that if I could take anything away from him, it's just that ability to be overly aggressive at times.
Cam Jordan joining us. All right, Cam, another guy who's got that passion. Obviously, your quarterback, Drew Brees. Go back to Monday night. What was your reaction when he got the all-time passing record?
I keep trying to say, like, I feel like I underappreciate this man because I've been witnessing him every day for the last 8 years during seasons. For what he's done, I mean, there's no argument to be made that he's one of the greatest of all time. And when you talk about what he did in the first half, I mean, they turned in 300-some yards of offense in the first half. I don't know what to tell you from that point. You know, he is one of the greatest to do it.
See, the thing is, though, Cam, and you wrote a piece for the Players Tribune a few weeks back, and you said that he doesn't get the credit he deserves. I mean, nobody can dispute this. He absolutely is one of the greatest to do it, but whenever the talk turns to the greatest to do it, his name is not necessarily on that short list. Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. You know, at some point, I'm sure, he's tuned out all negative publicity or whatever that's not giving the accolades that he so deserves. It blows my mind that, he can throw for 5,000 yards and has done so for four or five different times throughout his career, and yet he still hasn't been a league MVP. I mean, there's things that just don't add up.
Cam Jordan's my guest. What about him in practice? As an example, you wrote that he'll throw a pass in practice that looks pretty good to you, but if it's not perfect, as an example, how does he react to that?
Yeah, I mean, as a defensive end, I'm like, oh, it's a deep ball. They caught it in stride. He's running with it. And then you look over and Drew's popped off his lid and he's overly irritated at the way, he's talking to himself, like, come on, Drew. Like, I need more here. And it's like, again, outside looking in, he's like, that was a nice ball. You know, and the way Drew didn't like, whether he could have thrown a little bit farther so, the receiver didn't have to maybe take a step slower or didn't have to reach over his right shoulder instead of looking directly in front of him. I couldn't tell you. I just know that I'm like Drew's on his Drew hype again. I love it because when he's motivated like that in practice, then you can only imagine what's going to happen during the game.
Cam Jordan, my guest. I love that. Listen, you talk about guys who've done it a long time. Also in that same Players Tribune piece, you ranked the top seven players in the NFC South. And, of course, you had Julius Peppers on that list. I mean, when you look at this guy, he's in his 17th season in a sport where most guys do not make it to four. When you look at him in season 17, how do you explain what he's done for as long as he's done it and still doing it at a high level? How do you explain that?
I mean, what did he turn to, like 11 sacks last year? I don't want to go all fan guy on you, but as a avid lover of defensive ends and, the greats, he's one of them.
Dude, he is one of them, but 17 years to be that guy, that size, that athletic? I mean, I can't make any sense of this. And I know if I can't, or I know if you can't, none of us can, right? And I don't even know how you explain that, except maybe desire. Now, also, in your write-up on Alvin Kamara, this is great now, you wrote, quote, these mid-90s babies are just built differently. Like, I guess I'm one of the older guys on the team now. I'm an 89 baby. I like my retro stuff, light windbreaker jackets, like the Nike and Reebok ones. I've got some old Speedline joints. I rock fanny packs. My fanny packs are dope. Live colors. I've got a speaker in one of my fanny packs. If I want to go retro, I can. I can be overly retro. I mean, dude, there is so much to break down in that. But first of all, how do you see these mid-90s babies versus the guys like you from 89? What's the biggest difference?
I'd like to say the 90s babies sort of pride themselves on being different. And I've had this conversation in so many different ways. You know, everybody wants to be an individual and identify themselves as an individual. But at the same time, if everybody's different, what is separating you from everybody else? It's just a sort of a revolving conversation I've had, with Marcus Davenport and with AK and a couple of the younger DBs. And it's pretty funny to have it. But, this is something I'm just going to leave in the locker room.
See, too bad you said that because I was going to say to you, really, what do they say? What's their side of the conversation? What's their response?
We go into different situations, whether it be like, bro, you just a West Coast cat. And you know, AK is from the South, or, you know, Marcus is from Texas. We have, like I said, it breaks down in different ways. We've had it a couple different times, but when it gets aggressive, like I said, I just leave it for locker room talk.
Cam Jordan, my guest, you rep the West Coast, man. You got to stay strong with the West Coast. All right, how about this? Can you talk about this then? If you can't talk about that, can you talk about this? The fanny pack. People want to mock fanny packs. People want to clown fanny packs. You're loud and proud about your fanny packs. What is it about that fanny pack life that other people just do not understand?
I got a speaker in my fanny pack. My fanny pack
right.
is hella live.
Right.
You know, I got personal speaker on me at all times. and not to mention, you know, as a dad, I could definitely have had a diaper and some ointment in there, you know, if I needed to do a little spirit change. but it's just overly convenient. And, you know, I feel like my dad had one. I think I stole one from him. I've got a nice, you know, a super, I call it a super late 80s situation, or maybe it's early 90s, with that vibrant aqua teal color that he's got. But I've got some dope fanny packs. Now, I'm not rocking them the way these 90s kids are, over the shoulder or off the shoulder. I'm going to leave that to them. I'm a traditional fanny pack around the waist kid.
Yeah, but Pops, I mean, did he have a fanny pack with tunes? And when you roll out with that fanny pack with tunes, how do people react? I mean, is it instant awe and respect?
For sure. You know, back in the early 90s when he was rocking fanny packs, it was just, you know, something you rock off the waist while you were training or something like that. At this point, I've got a speaker in mind. I've got Bluetooth. They didn't have Bluetooth back then.
Hell no, they didn't.
So there's no way he had a speaker in it.
That is so good.
But, no, you know, when I walk around and it's playing, there's like, everybody seems like, you know, they didn't know it was possible to put a small speaker in a fanny pack. I'm like, yeah, bro, that's definitely my steez.
That is. Cam, stay strong. Don't change. Don't ever, ever change. He's the Saints nominee for Walter Payton Man of the Year. He is a first team All-Pro, three-time Pro Bowler, and a good friend of the program. Cam, great to have you back. Appreciate you very much.
Hey, much appreciated. Thanks for having me on. As always, it's been a blessing.
You got it, Cam. Me too. Great talking to you. Cam Jordan, he is so cool. One of my favorites. Such a good player.